Okay, let's resume. We'll go on to the next agenda item, 2009-2010, number 48, alcoholic beverage sales and licensing. The time is 3:08 p.m., and I believe we have someone on behalf of the proponents. If you'll introduce yourself to the record, please.
Blake Harrison, on behalf of the proponents, one of the proponents.
Thank you. Anything... my first step will be to turn it over to the board for questions, unless there's anything that you have that you wanted to tell us first about the measure.
The revised draft was simply corrections that were suggested by legislative council. So I don't think there is an issue there. And although this may be premature, as far as the title and the submission clause, I have some typed suggested revisions for the board.
Okay. Why don't you hold that just a little bit? When we get to the titles, then we can maybe then pass that out. Are there questions of the proponents from the title board members? Eubanks?
I just want to make sure that I understand. It seems to me that there's sort of two major component parts of your measure. One dealing with fermented malt beverage and eliminating the alcohol, the 3-2 beer issue. But is Section 3 about the someone between 18 and 21 being able to deliver off-premises, is that related to the beer issue only? Am I understanding that it's for whoever now can sell fermented malt beverage that isn't limited to 3-2, now they can have a person between 18 and 21 deliver what they can sell off premises under certain restrictions?
And they're currently allowed to do that for 3-2 beer.
Okay.
With this change, they are allowed to do it with full strength beer because that is a necessary consequence of changing the definition of beer.
So basically, the provisions in Section 2, 3, and 4 of your measure deal with the issue of the elimination of 3-2 beer.
3-2 beer.
And then Section 5 and 6 and... No. I guess 7 goes to 3-2 beer also, but then 5 and 6 deal with a retail liquor store licensee or a drugstore licensee being able to have more than one location or hold more than one license.
Hold an interest in more than one
store. Okay. So that's sort of how it breaks out?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that I understood how the provisions related to each other. Thank you.
Further questions? If not, then let's turn to the question of jurisdiction to set a title, including single subject. Anyone wish to testify on the question of single subject or jurisdiction? If not, discussion by the board? The expression of the single subject that's in the draft is regulation of alcohol beverages. Mr. Harrison, how would you describe the single subject of this measure?
I would describe it as concerning the reformation of alcohol beverage sales.
Okay.
Can I ask a question based on that response?
Yeah, Ms. Eubanks.
How does the proposed changes in Section 5 and 6 affect the sale of alcoholic beverages in terms of license, holding an interest in more than one license?
As a practical matter, it will allow more than one liquor licensed drugstore to operate in the state of Colorado that's owned by the same person or company. So as a practical matter, for example, there is one Target in Colorado on in Glendale that is allowed to sell beer, wine, and spirits. With that, it has changed in that all Targets would be able to sell beer, wine, and liquor. So that is a change in this. Currently, it's illegal to do that. This would reform that and make that legal.
Can I ask a personal question? Would this actually allow us to have a Trader Joe's in Colorado?
Perhaps, except I think they would have to get a drugstore license.
I see. All right.
Which they
may I'll try not to let that color my consideration of the measure.
At the very least, it would be a strong step towards that.
I appreciate that.
Okay. Is there a motion?
I actually think this is a little bit of a close call. They are, I think the statement is accurate in the staff draft. I think the proposed slight amendment would also be accurate. In some sense, when you start raising the level of generality though of the single subject and then doing two things that aren't really related to each other than this really general concept of selling alcoholic beverages is where I think you run into trouble. You certainly could do these, I think, separately. They're not necessary to do one hand in hand with the other.
And if I could stop you there,
sure.
You could describe exactly which two components.
Oh, well, sure. I mean, I think you could reform you could get rid of 3-2 alcohol or 3-2 beer requirements separately from who can have a license or the one license limit. I know that both of those apply to the same group of licensees. But it seems to me you could separate those. Whether you have to separate them, though, is a different question. I do think they're related. This isn't a case, I don't think, really, of log rolling of the type of trying to put together some coalition of different groups that would normally be opposed. So while they are kind of not necessarily the same, doing the same thing, I don't see that this raises the concerns that the single subject limit is meant to address. And so I think I'm comfortable going forward.
And Mr. Harrison, maybe it would be helpful to me a little bit if you could kind of express a little bit about what the relationship is of the different. They don't necessarily have to be connected to each other, but is there a common purpose, such as regulatory or flexibility, or is there something more than just two different things going on under the broad subject of alcoholic beverages?
I would say very much they are related in that once there is a change, it affects the other industries. And if one section of this is addressed separately, it would necessitate, in some instances, action by the legislature. To put it in two separate categories would be, in some instances, achieving the same purpose, but having to go to the ballot two different times and essentially asking the same question. So, for example, the 3-2 requirement. Once we change the 3-2 requirement, say that there is no 3-2 requirement, just beer is beer, then a grocery store could sell full-strength beer. They wouldn't necessarily have to be a drugstore-licensed liquor store. So that industry is affected by one part, and they're also affected by the second part that would allow them to own more than one liquor store. I think the same thing could be said for distributors as well. If you eliminate 3-2 beer, then 3-2 beer won't be manufactured anymore. And it makes some of the current statute irrelevant because there is regulation about distributing 3-2 beer. And I think if you affect one, it's going to necessarily have an impact on either the other industries. And we could talk about the relationship between a liquor store and a grocery store, too. If all of a sudden a convenience store is allowed to sell beer, the competition will shift between convenience stores and liquor stores. Hence, allowing liquor stores to own interests in more than one entity may be essential for their business if the expansion of beer is, or the definition of beer is changed.
Question.
From Ms. Eubanks.
And it's only because I'm not terribly familiar with the liquor laws, and so I just, in terms of what you've just described, can I try to boil it down in terms of my understanding to see if I'm, I mean, obviously, I understand the impact of getting rid of 3-2 beer. I mean, grocery stores, convenience stores now can sell those, so it broadens the market for them. So, standalone, then that may be viewed as harmful or increased competition, at least for the retail liquor stores and the drug stores, correct? Okay, so then the provisions dealing with the retail liquor stores and the drug stores, by allowing them this change to be able to hold an interest in more than one license, then that gives them something that helps offset the increased competition. Is that an accurate?
It is. It also is a necessity to facilitate having grocery stores be able to sell liquor, because they already can at one location.
Which I live by.
Right.
So I'm familiar with that one.
Okay.
So now, so do these changes would allow more grocery stores to
yes.
sell liquor?
Yes.
But it also allows what I would call sort of traditional liquor stores, someone that owns or holds a license for one of those, to now have multiple locations?
Yes. For example, Argonaut could have 5 Argonauts. Currently, they're only allowed to have interest in one. And it has to do with the purchasing power of the entities as well. If you can purchase from multiple, if you have 5 stores that are making a bulk purchase, as opposed to one store making a purchase, there is a competitive advantage.
Okay, so again, I'm simplifying it based on my knowledge. So from the beer perspective, now there's going to be more choice, more availability of hard beer, or regular beer, whatever you want to call it, in more locations if this measure passed.
Correct.
And then the assumption is on the changes for the retail liquor stores and the drug stores, there's going to be more availability, at least theoretically, for hard liquor, regular beer, wine, those types of things, because these folks will have new stores. Is that correct?
That is. So, and I think
so. From the consumer, they'll have more places to shop for all of these items.
Correct. So, for example, we could say expanding the locations where it's possible to purchase
liquor.
Alcohol.
Different types of liquors. There's
right.
still some limitations there.
Right. Or you could look at it the other way and say, removing restrictions. Removing restrictions on the sale of on the sale of alcohol, or reformation of outdated and antiquated laws.
Thank you.
I'll go ahead and move that the board find that the measure comprises a single subject and that we proceed to set titles.
Second.
Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Motion carries 3-0. And we do have a staff draft, Mr. Harrison, but I think you said you had a substitute that you wanted to suggest.
I can find the approach.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. So your suggested changes would be to change the expression of the single subject, which currently is concerning the regulation of alcohol beverages, and instead say concerning the reformation of alcohol beverage sales.
Correct. And then next is a reorganization, essentially taking the last line, which we believe is the most important or most meaningful effect this law would have, and putting it on top. And that, and in our view, that most important one is permitting retail liquor stores and liquor licensed drugstore licensees to own an interest in more than one liquor licensed business.
So you would be removing a couple of clauses about employees and allowing employees, you know, between 18 and 21 to sell, et cetera. I mean, is that because you consider those details that are not significant?
Correct. And I believe it's something that could be addressed in the Blue Book, and I think it's really administrative rather than substantive. I also believe it adds to confusion. The simpler that we make this, which is also our charge, the easier it will be for the general public to digest and comprehend the main provisions of what we're trying to do here.
Before I move on, I just want to find out if there's anybody else who wants to testify on the titles. Apparently not. So, you know, my first reaction to the suggestion from proponents, I don't like the word reformation, but we can come back to that. But in general, I think this, if proponents are satisfied with distilling this down to two main things, that makes sense to me. So I would suggest maybe we work off of the proponents' draft. I'm not at this point too keen on saying reformation. That's, I'm not sure what that means, except that that may be a word that implies something. It doesn't say reform. It's not like reform can be almost a buzzword or a catchphrase, but reformation, I'm not sure I understand why there's that change proposed.
What we're talking about is change, and I think it gets to the heart of the matter better than the word regulation. What we're doing is we're getting rid of a lot of regulation. To me, the word regulate means to add more regulations. What we're doing is we're doing the exact opposite. We're getting rid of regulations. So I think it's more of a reformation.
I wonder if reformation signals a lot of change. Reformation, I'm thinking about the Reformation. I don't know. It seems like that implies maybe a rewrite of the laws, but maybe that's not a fair understanding. Is it really a reading too much into that?
Intent. However, I could see how some may interpret it that way. I think it is more accurate.
Would it be better just to say concerning alcohol beverage sales?
Maybe, and better is...
If that avoids your concern about regulation. Mr. Domenico?
That's where I was headed. I can't even remember when I was talking about this. But the single subject is supposed to be what it's about, not an attempt to distill everything it does. Yet again, that's what the whole title is for. It's about alcoholic beverages or sales of alcoholic beverages. And I think heading in that direction, making it more general, making it really a subject, mm-hmm. not an attempt to encapsulate everything it does, but just what it's about, is where I would head and save us this difficulty. And I liked your suggestion.
Mr. Harrison, I'm sorry, go ahead.
As I understand it, it would then read concerning the reform of alcohol beverage sales.
My suggestion would be just to say concerning alcohol beverage sales, singular, I guess. Is that correct? Go ahead.
I don't know, concerning the sale of alcoholic beverages, might be better.
Concerning the sale of alcohol...
Alcoholic beverage. I don't know the terminology.
Yeah, is it alcoholic beverages? I mean, I know the measure says alcohol beverages. Is that... What's the right phrase?
I'm not sure. I just might be a little concerned of having the word alcoholic in the title.
Beverages containing alcohol.
Yeah. Well, that's... I see that phrase in the law. I mean, it seemed a little bit cumbersome to say concerning the sale of beverages containing alcohol, just to avoid saying alcoholic beverages.
I don't know. I'm tending to think that it sounds okay saying concerning alcohol beverage sales.
Say that again.
Concerning alcohol beverage sales.
Concerning alcohol.
Alcohol beverage sales would be my preference.
That's the language from the declaration in the measure itself.
Okay.
I agree. I think alcoholic is better, but just say alcohol. Concerning alcohol. alcohol sales?
Rubbing alcohol?
It's true, it doesn't regulate all. It doesn't deal with all types of alcohol sales.
So what we have right now is concerning alcohol beverage sales, I think. And I'll move that change. Proponents say otherwise.
Something to add to the mix, and I'm not sure of my stance on it, but the reform of alcohol beverage license restrictions, I think may be more accurate, but also I don't know what value there is in that.
I just don't like the word reform. It implies that you're correcting a problem to me, but
okay.
I mean, I understand the point of view that may be the case,
right.
But that to me kind of slants it towards a favorable wording. Ms. Eubanks?
Sort of building on what's been suggested, you could say something concerning licenses to sell alcohol beverages. I wanted to get the license concept in there.
Concerning licenses to sell alcohol beverages?
That seems really awkward to me, but...
And I think my main concern is to just have it be readable. I think the concept is substantially, if not entirely, the same.
Yeah, I think all of what's been discussed are accurate descriptions of the subject, just on different levels of generality. My inclination, again, is to write these fairly generically. And so, yes, it's about licenses, but that's more narrow than it's written now. Is that necessary to put in the title, as opposed to if you're writing a legal argument to a court about what the single subject is? I don't think it is or should be. I think, are we waiting for a second?
I didn't get a second, so I think another motion is in order. Unless you want a second.
Well, I think I'm prepared to second your motion to change the single subject to concerning alcohol beverage sales. So I second that motion.
Alcohol beverage sales. Motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. So then, any other changes to the proponent's suggested draft? Banks.
It's only because I always thought they were called convenience stores instead of convenient stores, but I don't know how they're referred to in the law.
I think you're right as well.
But that's the way it appears in the staff draft, even in terms of convenience stores. Should it be CE instead of T?
I would think so. But I always say.
Convenience? Other than a convenience store.
Can I just question whether both of those phrases and after that and? I like all these changes. But you've got removing the maximum alcohol content and then an explanation of what that does. That is accurate as far as I know. But I don't know that we usually write in the title an explanation. I don't think that comes from the measure. I think that's just sort of added. personally, it's obviously more readable than the removing the maximum alcohol content limitation of fermented malt beverages is a lot of very legalistic language.
Appropriate for Blue Book or the campaign?
At least I was thinking maybe you either get rid of that first clause and the language about grocery stores and convenience stores and just say and allowing stores that hold a fermented malt beverage license to sell at retail full strength beer is, I think, accurate about what we're trying to say, and is less of kind of injecting this grocery stores, convenience stores, our own language into the measure. I think that second half of that last part about holding a fermented malt beverage license, full strength beer, is probably our own language, but not, I don't think it's a very controversial summary of the change in the definition of fermented malt beverage, adding the word beer to it. The measure adds the word beer, and it removes the maximum, which I think, so.
And perhaps we could just say beer, because in the proposed change, we say malt beverage means beer.
Right.
And what we're doing is we're getting rid of the difference between malt liquor and fermented malt beverages. They're all just going to be beer now. We still have this definition, but
so what if it simply read, after moving the last sentence up there to lines 2 through 4, it said, and allowing stores that hold a fermented malt beverage license to sell full-strength beer.
Yes.
I like that. I think it cuts through it. And so did you...
I didn't make that as a motion, but I will.
Can I ask, right before you make that motion, just want to pause, at the issue of eliminating the reference to grocery stores and convenience stores. I think the public, if we're just saying stores that hold a fermented malt beverage license, are we missing something significant? Do we need to retain grocery stores and convenience stores? I don't know.
Well, I mean, sorry to interject.
No, go ahead.
My reason for getting rid of it is we're taking somebody's word for it, that that's who it applies to. And I guess, we could go back and look at how these changed sections fit in with everything else, and maybe it is just convenience stores and grocery stores. But since I don't know where that comes from necessarily, to the extent it's material, it's not in the measure, so I would suggest that someone else has to explain how the measure affects the other parts of the law.
Thanks.
I mean, I agree in terms of relying on someone else's representation of what the change means and what types of stores now can sell full-strength beer. Whether or not if you choose to have any sort of explanation in the title, that then you, maybe you just say that, you know, allowing a fermented, and in terms of however you propose to do it, you know, flipping it, but to the bottom line is allowing a fermented malt beverage licensee to sell full-strength beer, and then you don't get into what kind of stores. It's whoever holds those. Now, it may not be as helpful from sort of a man on the street in terms of the grocery store and convenience store, but at least I think that's, it gets you out of that box a little bit if you're going to have an explanation at all.
And I think it is more accurate to say grocery stores and convenience stores. Again, I'm sure about the value.
Well, can I just ask a question then? Would this apply? Do we know? Are there any stores that have these fermented malt beverage licenses that aren't grocery or convenience stores?
Sure, how to address the board? Is it board? Or... My name is David Wrights. I used to be the director of Colorado's Liquor Enforcement Division. 24 years of experience in alcohol beverage regulation for the state. Was a division director for 12 years, and since my retirement in 2003, I've been employed as a kind of an alcohol beverage law expert by law firms and liquor licensees around the state. And I've been kind of asked to kind of help a little bit with some of the background information on. And to your question, yes, there are. There's not a large number that aren't classified as grocery or convenience stores, but there are still a small number of small taverns and similar things that you might find in a resort area where they don't want to sell beer, wine, and spirits, where they have just a 3-2 beer license. Some small nine-hole golf courses would also have that same type of thing. They might have a convenience store where they might consume in a little bar area but sell a six-pack to go because fermented malt beverage has what they call an on and off type of license classification.
Thank you. Would you mind signing this, the
yes,
sign-up sheet also?
Okay, well that's good to know, and suggest that Miss Eubanks' language would be best, I think.
So the motion is?
Well, let's see. It would delete all of the remainder of line 4, and I guess all the way down to the word stores on line 5, and that we may want to...
Second stores? Through convenient
stores? Yeah, well, and it would remove all that. I think Miss Eubanks suggested saying that, and that we would replace that with and allowing, I guess we don't have to write and again, allowing, and maybe here it makes sense to delete that hold A and change it to fermented malt beverage licensees, since it may not all be stores in a technical sense, licensees, and then leave it at that. I don't know if we need it at retail or not. Probably not. I mean, there is that section about distributors, essentially, but I don't think we need to differentiate.
Mr. Harrison, is that your motion?
And I'll second that
for discussion. Mr. Harrison, comment?
I agree with the suggestions.
Ready to vote?
Thanks.
Since we're just down to the two clauses, I don't know that we need a comma after business on line 3.
True. Eliminate that comma.
I think that was part of my motion.
Yes, I think it was. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. Further changes to draft? If not, is there a motion to adopt? Oh, a motion to adopt the titles as amended with the understanding that the same changes would be made in the ballot title and submission clause. That is just simply the title in the form of a question.
So moved.
Second. So then for the record, the title would read, an amendment to the Culver Revised Statutes concerning alcohol beverage sales, comma, and comma, in connection therewith, comma, permitting retail liquor store and liquor licensed drugstore licensees to own an interest in more than one liquor licensed business, and allowing fermented malt beverage licensees to sell full strength beer. If there's no other discussion,
no further.
Okay, then all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0, and that concludes action on number 48, and that concludes our agenda. The time is 3:48 p.m. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
I know.
I know there are a lot filed. Have there been a lot?
Deadline's this Friday at 3. Yeah, but a lot of the review and comment hearings are Friday because they filed on the absolute last day for the 2 weeks to make the title board filing deadline.
Or just saying this morning, you know, if we cannot complete it on, we can go over to the next day.
Oh yeah.
So that may be something to just think about. Calendars.
Good to see
for
you.
Thursday.
Yeah.
I heard you put on.
I think that's a good idea.
Obviously, you were busy preparing for this.
I mean, I can make it work.
Probably so. And the alternative, depending on what we get.
So we're talking about the 21st and 22nd, right?
Right. Also, we're late in the evening.
We'll send you the major.